Here we go.
KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
The very best day is
ESPN 97.5.
Set no substitutes.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
And welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. A quick moment here for John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm are personal injury attorneys. They're going to bring you a personalized approach. It's DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. Now, it doesn't matter what type of accident you're in. If it's car, boat, motorcycle, construction, plant, refinery, you might drive an 18-wheeler. The Daspit Law Firm is going to assure you they'll treat your case as if it's their own. DaspitLaw.com. They'll work for you 24-7 nights and weekends. John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm will fight for your right for compensation. 713-322-HURT. And a quick word for the Gorgeous Gale. If you want an Irish pub with that Irish feel, the Gorgeous Gale, the place for you, head over to Gorgeous Gale, 5555 Morningside Drive. Catch all the best soccer and football matches there and stop in for a pint and a bite. Whiskey offering. Say hello to my friend Peter. It is thegorgeousgale.com. With that, we bring in from ESPN FC, great friend of the show, Naib Moran. Naib, thank you very much for coming on the show.
No, thank you, Glenn, for having me. It's great to be back to chat a little bit about what's been going on in the last weeks and in the world of football, specifically looking at what happened a couple of days ago over here at Estadio Azteca with the U.S. In Mexico.
All right, I'm going to hit you up real quick. This is rapid fire. So we're going to go 2009. It's the last time Mexico's beaten the United States at Azteca. Is the mystique gone at Azteca Stadium?
You know, I think the U.S. has really found ways to sort of make Mexico's life miserable at Azteca. No, I think in that match that we saw on Sunday, Mexico only had one shot on goal. It tells a little bit of how well the defense worked out. I wouldn't say that the mystique is totally gone because I do get a sense that, you know, they beat Costa Rica at home. They beat Honduras. So the results with Osorio have been rather positive at Estadio Azteca. But with the U.S., it's a different story. You know, I think it's a different story because it's this rivalry that, you know, increases as every year goes by. And I think the U.S. has kind of found the groove of how to, you know, they already feel comfortable at Azteca. You know, and even though it's not a win yet at a hexagonal, it's two draws, but, you know, you can already tell that these players feel comfortable. I mean, the experience that Omar Gonzalez has had here since arriving to Pachuca is noticeable. You know, since he arrived to Pachuca in 2016, he's won twice at Azteca with Pachuca by beating America, and now he gets the draw against a strong Mexico team because this is a Mexico team that was coming confident into this match. You know, the options of winning were high, but I just think that they already found sort of the mechanisms to make Mexico's life miserable at Azteca. I don't think the mystique is totally gone. I think the mystique is still present, but I think the U.S. has already found the ways, you know, to complicate things.
Well, one of those ways was a five-back system, three center backs, and tactically I'm wondering if you and then the Mexican press, do you guys think, with Juan Carlos Osorio being such a tactician, did Bruce Arena win the tactical battle?
You know, when you see the starting lineup for Mexico and the fact that Osorio put four center backs and he made a substitution early on in the match by putting in, you know, taking out Osvaldo Alaniz and then putting in Jesús Gallardo, who's more of a winger, it kind of tells you a little bit that he wasn't really expecting the, you know, the five at the back, then the three strong holding, you know, center midfield, defensive-minded. I think he wasn't expecting that, you know. Because during the, before the match, he always talked about a 4-4-2. You know, Osorio envisioned that Arena was going to use the 4-4-2. And all the switches that Arena made from the game against Trinidad to the game against Mexico, I think it did surprise Osorio, you know. And also, tactically speaking, you know, the substitutions that Osorio made weren't sharp. You know, he made the U.S. jobs easy because, you know, there was only one striker up top for Mexico. It was only Chicharito. And he never, you know, went to the bench and looked at Raul Jimenez or Oribe Peralta. So, you know, when you look at the whole picture, even though with a defensive-minded U.S. formation, I think Arena did beat Osorio in the tactical sense of the word.
Naib Moran joining us, ESPN FC. We're talking about the 1-1 draw between the United States and Mexico. So Tom Marshall and I had a conversation, and he's going to be on the show a little bit later. But one thing that he felt was that in some ways and this isn't being reported a lot, according to him, that Mexico was looking ahead to the Confederations Cup. Are you buying that?
Well, you can say that that as well, Glenn, because if you look at, you know, the team arrived to Russia, you know, a couple of hours ago, and in the squad you have names like Rafa Márquez, Miguel Layún, and Andrés Guardado, and there is talk in the camp that, you know, if the U.S.-Mexico game on Sunday would have been a must-win for Mexico, those three might have been in the starting 11, you know, and Osorio decided not to use them to keep them fresh for the Confederations, which starts on Sunday against Portugal. It's a possibility, knowing how Osorio is careful with that kind of sense of, you know, giving the appropriate minutes to the players. And, you know, he doesn't have a trouble of switching it around. No. You know, I think that's one of the things with Osorio is, you know, if you don't need to use Guardado, Layún, and Rafa, there's no problem. You know, there's another batch of players behind them that can give results. But I think, you know, when you list those three names that I just said to you, Márquez, Layún, and Guardado, they're not just any type of player. I think they're leaders in the team that have already showcased that they can lead Mexico to big wins, like it was the case over there in Columbus with Layún scoring the goal and then assisting Rafa Márquez on that last-minute header, no, in that corner.
Naib Moran joining us, ESPN FC writer down in Mexico. We've been all over tonight. Mexico, later on we're going to Russia with Tom Marshall. So it's been a wonderful way of dealing with the U.S.-Mexico game. And then, of course, all the competitions that are going on this summer. Tell me a little bit about the Confederations Cup and how meaningful this is for Mexico. Obviously, the first game is against Portugal and Cristiano Ronaldo.
I think it's important, Glenn, because, you know, I think Mexico and Confederations Cups, you know, they're usually in it. They won it in 1999, but, of course, that took place in Mexico. So that was, you know, being the host with an advantage. The last good memory of Mexican football internationally at the senior level, I think, was the 2005 Confederations Cup in Germany. I think that was a great showing from the Mexican national team. And it's a deep desire to see Mexico once again be at that level, you know, and I think the players have come a long way. There's now more players in Europe. So you would imagine that Mexico should be able to kind of match what the U.S. did in 2009 over there in South Africa, you know, by beating Spain out of nowhere. No one saw that coming. And then reaching the final, of course, losing a heartbreaker against Brazil. But that's kind of the deal that you want to see with Mexico. You want to see Mexico, you know, if it's possible, reaching the final, why not? But with that being said, I mean, we understand the complications here that have come up, especially after what happened last year in the Centenario and how that turned out, you know, the nightmare of how it turned out over there in Santa Clara. And, of course, that memory still persists.
And, yeah, why does right that now, memory still persist? I mean, Osorio's lost one game. Why does that memory, I mean, why can't Mexican fans just let that go, the Chile game? Can't they let it go? Put your strength behind the new manager. He's winning games for you.
Yeah, definitely, Glenn. I mean, he's winning games, but, you know, the level of competition, I would say, is not as high, you know. When you're playing, it's not the same, you know, when you're playing in the CONCACAF region and then you go on and compete against, like, the Chiles, the Uruguays, the Portugal, the Russia. You know, there's that fear that maybe something can happen and it cannot look good for the national team. But, of course, Mexico has proven in the past that they're able to beat Brazil in a Confederations Cup. They're able to, you know, take Argentina to penalties. You know, I think it was such a hard loss that it's still difficult to erase. And that's why this Confederation does look like an exam for Osorio to see how much he learned from that Centenario and what can happen here in the Confederation. But, you know, it's two different things. The hexagonal is one thing. And the Confederations is a whole different thing. You know, this is a process that at the end of it all is looking to the World Cup. And we can't criticize the fact that Osorio already has Mexico with one foot in the World Cup.
Already in the World Cup, absolutely. I mean, deserves tremendous credit for that because he's gotten in early.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that wasn't the case 4 years ago. But, you know, here with this international competition, it's sort of seeing how good the idea actually is. His methodology. You know, the player seems to love him. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Every player you talk to talks marvelous things about Osorio. But it's worked. You want to see action. And actions suggest that, you know, if they're able to get a good result against Portugal, get a good result against Russia, and go on to the semis, and why not beat Chile in the Confederations, which I think would be a massive opportunity, then I think that consolidates Osorio's methodology and ideas in the national team.
Naib Moran, ESPN FC. Two quick ones here, and we got to go quick on these, Naib. So the first one is, tell me about Kubo Torres. He's not on the 23-man roster. He still is in the 40-man roster. He still could be added to the team. Where is Kubo Torres in the big picture of the national team? Is he far away from it?
No, he's not. He's not. I don't think he is. He's not that far away, Glenn. I mean, I still think there was a lot of confusion with that 25-man roster that came out the day of the game against the U.S. Today, Pompilio Páez, who's Juan Carlos Osorio's assistant coach, spoke to the media and sort of kind of review a little bit of what the process will be in the next week. And the reason he's not on the list is because MLS teams, since they're still in competition, the league's still on, they're not allowed to release their players until 15 days before the Gold Cup starts. So the main idea of this camp that is going on right now in Mexico City is to, you know, have the new players that are, you know, getting adapted to the idea that the methodology of Osorio and how they work. Because many of the faces that we'll see in this Gold Cup are basically making their first, their senior national team debut. So we're talking about a young team. And I do see that Kubo will be in the final list based on what I heard today from Pompilio Páez. You know, he said straightforward that he went to visit him in Houston already, talked to him directly, told him what the plan was. So wouldn't be surprised if the June 27th, that's when the final list will come out, that Kubo Torres' name is on that list.
So the assistant coach will add him to the list, you believe?
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, right now, the reason Pompilio is so involved right now is because Osorio is in the Confederation. But once the Confederation is over, Osorio is going to be, you know, the main man again over there in the Gold Cup.
Very good. Listen, a big thank you, Naib, as always, for coming on. Thanks for that good information on Kubo Torres. And we appreciate you, as always, for coming on the program and bringing some great insight.
No, thank you, Glenn. Always great talking about what's going on in the world of football and hearing your thoughts as well.
We'll talk to you soon. We'll bring you in studio when you get to Houston. That's Naib Moran of ESPN FC. Before we go to break, here, Azure Salon in the heart of River Oaks and in West Ave Shopping. The stylist at Azure Salon, by the way, they've got a tough job. They keep me looking sharp for TV work. Azure Salon is the place to go. Ladies, they have you covered. Color, cuts, and extensions. AzureSalon.com. We'll take a break here. Much more to come here. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Mexico will take on Ghana here in Houston June 28th, the Mexican national team returning here. Do not miss this opportunity to see Mexico ahead of the Gold Cup. Tickets on sale, Ticketmaster.com, $30, Mexico, Ghana. With that, speaking of Mexico and the United States, Kellen Acosta, who had a wonderful game in midfield for the U.S. at Azteca Stadium, also a member of FC Dallas, joins us now. Kellen, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you. No problem.
Well, let's put this one in perspective here. Now that you've played the 90 minutes, you've had an opportunity to kind of digest what went down in Azteca. How about a few thoughts from you just off the top?
It was a big result for us for getting a road point over there. I mean, that's a difficult stadium to play in against a very good team. But, we had a game plan to get points, to get 3 points first and foremost. But, I mean, I think we're pretty content with getting the point on the road. And overall, I mean, I was definitely excited for the opportunity just to go out there and be a part of that and get the 90 minutes under my belt.
Some of the comments that have come out have been about what a great tactical match this was. Now, for me, over the years watching the U.S. and Mexico, this seemed to me a team that was very confident, very knowledgeable in what it was doing, all roles very, very much defined. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, for sure. I think Bruce was implementing a system at the beginning of camp, and he said this may be a possibility. So we were just kind of working on it. And overall, I mean, Bruce's game plan was definitely effective and got the result that we wanted. And I mean, overall, I mean, the guys were very confident in our abilities, and I mean, the players that came in really stepped up. I mean, like myself, Paul, Tim, who hasn't started, Jeff had a solid game, with Michael scored an incredible goal. So, I mean, it was just great to see that guys that aren't usual starters came in and did the job that we needed to do to get the result.
At what point does Bruce Arena tell you, Kellen, that, look, you're starting, I got faith in you? Tell me about that sort of discussion, when it occurred, because I think that's a very interesting thing for people to know.
Yeah, I mean, he just said that I had a good week in camp and that I'm here for a reason. And, I mean, he's giving me the opportunity to just go out there and do what I do, like I was playing. It's like I was playing with Dallas. He says, be confident and be clean on the ball and just do what you do. And, I mean, you earned this opportunity to make the most of it. So, I mean, I was definitely very excited and a little nervous at first because, I mean, I didn't know what to expect. I know watching U.S.-Mexico and Azteca on TV, you can hear the crowd. But I think once I was there, I was kind of just used to it. And, I mean, it wasn't too bad. It was everything that I dreamed of and hoped for. It was a big opportunity for me.
Yeah, what a platform. What an opportunity. You took it so well. Kellen Acosta joining us here, FC Dallas, the U.S. national team, here on ESPN 97.5. When I look at you, I have to think back to the way you've developed here as a soccer player. And to me, you're mature beyond your years. And I think you're a symbol of how significant now we are seeing players like yourself, this new wave of players that have a lot of experience. You handled this game wonderfully. But when you go out there, I think about your preparation in the academy with Oscar Pereira, all the things you've gone through, and you're prepared for the moment. I got to think you feel very equipped no matter what environment you go into.
Right. I mean, I kind of look at everything as a new game, new opportunity to prove myself and to show everyone what I'm made of. And I mean, I looked at it as another game. I know the importance, and I don't want to just kind of overwhelm myself, but I just wanted to go out there, have fun, do the job I need to do, and help my teammates as much as possible. And I mean, that's my goal as a center midfielder, to kind of just help out in the defense and try to get things going offensively as well. I mean, I just try to, every game, I just try to set goals for myself, just to, no matter how the game's going, I'm going to give it 110% and give all the heart and energy that I have so I can't anymore. So, I mean, that's how I look at every game.
Kellen, how difficult was it to hear your teammates in that environment at Azteca Stadium?
Yeah, I mean, it was very difficult. But I think with our team, I think we just read each other's body language. And I mean, that's the biggest thing. I think we kind of just gelled and clicked, even though we don't always play together. I think we really had a good understanding for each other, even though it's been a couple of weeks. But I thought me and Mike's partnership with the middle was good. I knew when to step. I knew when to drop off. I knew what space I needed to be in. I kind of just read the game from him. And I thought we did a tremendous job. I think everyone just kind of read each other. And I think that was my biggest takeaway of the game.
Yeah, and you and Michael obviously connected with the center back, Jeff Cameron. It's a nice little triangle there straight down the spine of the team. I just think you guys were all spot on. The three of you played wonderful.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I thought Jeff was tremendous in the back line. Same with our whole back line. I thought DeAndre, B's, Omar, Ken, I thought they were pretty solid. I mean, Jeff has some great 1v1 plays that he cleaned up. I thought he had a tremendous game. And I mean, not to say the whole back line didn't do a great job, but I thought Jeff really stood out.
Take me into sort of the locker room after the game and the feeling you guys had, because you to me seem like you're the kind of guy that, you know, you play a game like this, but you're already looking to the next one.
Right. I mean, we were definitely ecstatic. Getting a point in Azteca on the road, I mean, that's really tough to do. I mean, they're a great team, and it's obviously a difficult environment and atmosphere. But, I mean, we were very happy. Out of two games, we got 4 points, and we're back on track and back on where we need to be. So I know Bruce is really happy, and the team is really happy on what we got going here, and that we're continuing to grow and keep pushing. So, I mean, I know everyone's excited about it.
What would it mean to you to go to the World Cup in Russia?
A dream come true. I mean, since I was a little boy, I've always dreamed of playing the World Cup on the biggest stage, the most watched. One of the most watched sporting events in the world, and I know that it would be a huge opportunity for me, and it would be a special thing to be a part of that. I mean that's my overall goal. I mean we have a lot of work to do still, but I mean, we're inching closer to being that spot, and I mean, hopefully I can continue playing well and then get to Russia as well.
Kellen Acosta joining us here on ESPN 97.5. One or two more cap questions. We're going to let Kellen go. What were some of the things that Michael Bradley, as a veteran, as maybe in some cases mentoring you a little bit through this game, what were some of the real key things he mentioned you throughout this game where there's all this audio, acoustics, things are flying very fast? What's he telling you?
I mean, the big thing about it is just his communication. I mean, even like before the game, he kind of just calmed my nerves a little bit. He just like, just treat him like another game. It's going to be a cool opportunity. You're going to really enjoy it, make the most of it. And he was just telling me, just play confidence, do what I do week in and week out with Dallas, and I'll be in good shape. And he said, I've been clean in practice. And he said, just if you pick your spots and going forward and defending, I'll be here to cover you. Just be comfortable out there. And I mean, I really listened to him. I felt really confident, comfortable. And I mean, his words really helped me for sure.
How much is that particular skill, listening, meant to you as a young player? Because you know, a lot of times we think we know it all when we're young, right? I know that in my past. But how much is listening throughout the phases that has gotten you to this point? How much of that has been important to you?
Huge. I mean, the game, it's a learning game. I mean, every day is a chance for you to learn something new. And I mean, just being with the guys, it's 2 weeks, I learned a lot, not just from guys like Michael Bradley, but Jeff Kahn and Tim Howard, Josie, and all the veteran guys, Clint. I mean, they taught me a lot. I mean, they just little things I need to touch up on. And, I mean, listening is a big part of it because, I mean, at the end of the day, they want what's best for me and I want what's best for myself, and they want to help the team as much as possible. So I know for myself, for me to be the best that I can be, I need to absorb more knowledge and more aspects of the game that I don't necessarily see all the time. So, I mean, I think listening is very important for sure.
Last question, and this is one I just was really, when I saw this, I was just like, wow, this is special. You come back from this, so already I've seen you out at a soccer camp. I don't know if it was North Texas State or where, but I saw you already out mixing with kids, and I'm just saying, how wonderful is that? What a wonderful example Kellen Acosta is.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, in ways I can give back to the community, I mean, I'll be glad to. Yeah, I was just there at a UNT soccer camp, and I met with some of the girls and boys that are a part of it. So it was pretty cool just to talk to them and see the guys and see the girls. And because I know, I mean, when I was younger, I mean, I was in those types of camps, and I didn't necessarily have players that came by and kind of just talked to me. So I wanted to be that vocal person that could, I mean, just give a little aspect of the game that I experienced and my different experiences of where I've been and where I want to become. And I know, I mean, it's definitely important for a kid like that to just hear things that, I mean, dreams do really come true if you just really work hard. So I was glad I was able to kind of give back to them.
Well, you got an amazing opportunity to influence them. Before I let you go here, I just want to thank you again for coming on this program. Do you think there's a new wave of youth coming through now? I just got done doing the Under-20 World Cup, and the Under-20 U.S. team, a boatload of talent, a lot of guys that weren't there. The Under-17's excellent. Is there a new excitement with some of the youth that are coming through, headlined by guys like yourself?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's a lot of guys that are hungry to be in some of the positions that I've been. I mean, you saw the points, but I mean, stacked with talent, U-17s as well. You can see guys like Christian Pulisic, I mean, he's 18 years old, being one of the stars of the team. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, I think the future's looking bright. But, I mean, we still have a lot of work to do. I mean, no getting wrong, the veteran presence, I mean, they're great. They're awesome players that we can learn a lot from. But I know, I mean, the youth coming up, I mean, I think we're in good hands coming in the future. So we need to keep buckling down, working hard, and hopefully one day we'll have the opportunities that they have had before.
Kellen, thank you very much for coming on the program. Again, congratulations on the great result at Azteca Stadium against Mexico. Absolutely enjoy watching you play. Keep up all the great work.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
All right, that's Kellen Acosta, FC Dallas, U.S. men's national team. Went the full 90 minutes in the 1-1 draw, a historic match at Azteca Stadium. Hey, let's not forget, Manchester United, Manchester City. The derby will be here in Houston. It's been a huge sports year here, and it's about to get even bigger. Two of the most successful soccer teams on the planet coming to Houston, July 20th, Energy Stadium, 8:30 p.m., Manchester Derby, two of the biggest rivals in all of sports. In light of the recent tragedy in Manchester, a portion of all ticket sales for Manchester United, Manchester City here in Houston will be donated to victims and their families. InternationalChampionsCup.com. Also, Mexico taking on Ghana, June 28th, the Mexican national team returning to Houston. Don't miss this opportunity to see Mexico ahead of the Gold Cup. Tickets now on sale at Ticketmaster.com, starting at $30 for Mexico-Ghana at Energy Stadium. We'll take a break. More to come on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5.
Hello, it is. It's Kareem Jackson, and you listen to ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. A quick reminder, Manchester United taking on Manchester City right here in Houston. It's been a huge sports year in Houston. It's about to get bigger. Two of the biggest teams in the world coming to Houston in Energy Stadium July 20th, 8:30 p.m. The Manchester Derby for the first time ever played outside of England. Two of the biggest rivals in all of sports. And in light of the recent tragedy in Manchester, a portion of all the ticket sales will be donated to the victims and their families. You can get tickets for this spectacle. It's going to be awesome. InternationalChampionsCup.com. Speaking of awesome, most people in the United States saying the result against Mexico 1-1 at Azteca Stadium was awesome. Let's go to the man who brings us the best of Mexican soccer from ESPN FC. He's Tom Marshall. And by the way, he is in Kazan, Russia right now, covering the Confederations Cup, following around Mexico and a number of the teams. Tom, thank you very much, and thank you for taking the time out for us.
No problem, Glenn. It's always good to come on and talk Mexican football.
Well, let's top Mexico-US, 1-1 draw at Azteca. I made a simple statement. For me, this is one of the most controlled, mature, sort of defined performances from a comfort level the U.S. has ever had. I think it is the best ever performance there from that standpoint. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I thought the United States were very good, and I think that was maybe lost a little bit in the coverage within Mexico. I think the only thing I'd point out is that it's almost like the attention in Mexico has just been on, you know, the Confederations Cup. I think that's been the big highlight of the summer. And I think part of the reason is that Mexico seemed to be qualifying for Russia 2018 quite easily. So I just felt like the Mexico-US game, even within Mexico, wasn't as hyped as usual, because if you go back the last couple of occasions in the hexagonal, Mexico desperately needed a result because they've been struggling. So I think this time I just think that's how it's been kind of framed within Mexico.
Yeah, bigger for the U.S., not as big for Mexico. The goal that Michael Bradley scores, though, you know, that's one you might say, well, that would be a Mexican player doing that to the United States. Did you think that was a bit of a body blow, not only from the fact that they went up 1-0, but because of the way that goal occurred, with Bradley stepping in and then chipping a goalkeeper from, you know, 45, 50 yards out?
Yeah, but I mean, I just think, obviously, it was a mistake from Chicharito. That I'm not taking anything away from the finish. But I think that's the difference between, say playing the United States for Mexico and playing, you know, maybe one of the Central American teams that isn't Costa Rica or a Caribbean team. I mean, the United States have obviously got that quality up front and in midfield to cause that kind of problem. And I think that's why the rivalry right now is so good. I mean, I don't know, Glenn, it's just like we always seem to in the press kind of hype it one way or the other. You know, we're always like, Mexico are on top, they're dominant, they're way better than the United States. And then going back only a couple of years, it was the opposite. It was like the United States are slowly taking over from Mexico. And I think that, I don't know, when you look at the rivalry over the last 10, 15 years even, it's like there's not much between these teams. And I think we saw that in the Azteca. I think we saw maybe from the Mexican standpoint, maybe the fans, possibly the media a little bit. I'll include myself in that as well, possibly, saying, you know, this is Mexico's chance to, you know, to make that statement that it is the number one, and not just number one, but by a little bit of a distance. And I think we saw the reality in the game was that, you know, these are two decent teams, and the United States are really getting it together now under Arena, and you know, there's not a massive difference between the two.
But on the other side, I'm going to just say this, Tom, and we're all a part of the hype, right? We all get excited for it. Look, I didn't go to Metallica, and I had great seats, and I sat at home because I wanted to watch the U.S. and Mexico. I ate my seats. So, you know, we all get into the hype and the excitement around it because of so many shared things. But one thing that's always been clear is Mexican fans 100% think they're more technical soccer players than ours. I don't think that's any question. I think that gap is narrowing. But for the U.S. to get a 1-1 draw at Azteca in that temple, that's got to be a win for the United States. And the way they did it with their tactics, with differing players, with some surprises from Bruce Arena, I mean, you got to say it's Bruce Arena 1, Juan Carlos Osorio 0 in that game.
Yeah, I mean, I think you know, Osorio was expecting the U.S. to play 2 up front as well. I mean, I think that, and also 3 at the back, surprising, but I think you know, the Mexican assistant manager kind of admitted that the Mexico actually changed the tactics from what they had in mind
And then when they saw the team sheet, they switched it to kind of a 4-3-3 instead of a 3-4-3 because of what Arena put out there. But yeah, I mean, in terms of style, I mean, it's one of those questions that you just, yeah, I mean, it depends, you know, what you want from football and stuff. Obviously, true. Mexico want to play a certain way. It's actually interesting that I think Osorio has tried to, he's tried to add an element of steel. And I think we saw against the United States, you know, Mexico basically played four central defenders at the back, you know, so wary of the way the United States went about things. And maybe that was an error from Osorio as well. I mean, I think we saw him take Oswaldo Alanis off and put on Jesús Gallardo quite early. And I think that was, you know, maybe a mistake from Osorio. But yeah, like you said, Glenn, I think it was a, top performance from the United States. And I think that goal will obviously go down in history. But like I said, I just, you know, take style out of it and all that. And I just think there's not that much difference between, you know, between these two great rivals.
So you're telling me that Juan Carlos Osorio then was in many ways now reactive a little bit more to the United States. You know, certainly I don't know about 10 or 15 years ago. I think Mexico just thought, out we go on the field and we're going to beat the U.S. because we're just better soccer players. But do you think the U.S. now is actually making Osorio, who is a thinker, who is a tactician, really think about them maybe a little bit more than normal?
I think that's part of Osorio's philosophy. And I think that even in Columbus in November, I'm pretty sure he changed the tactics then as well when he saw the U.S. team, because it was another surprise that then Jurgen Klinsmann, you know, putting out a different formation than was expected. So, yeah, I just think that's part of Osorio's philosophy. Even when, you know, Mexico went to play Trinidad and Tobago and he plays two big, the tallest, most physical defensive midfielders he's got. And I think that's Osorio's kind of, he wants to take almost, I think he's described it as kind of the machismo, you know, the idea that we're Mexico or we're Colombia or we're, you know, this team and we're going to play this way no matter who we come up against. It's almost like the opposite of Miguel Herrera, who that was his style. This is how we play. You've got to adapt to us. Whereas Osorio's obviously got his playing style, but he will adapt the formation and the personnel within the team to kind of reduce the threat or what he perceives as the threat from the opposition.
Last one on this game. How did the Mexican public take this after the result? Press.
It was weird, Glenn. It was, I mean, obviously you'd expect them to be a reaction and to the kind of the newspapers and the fans to kind of be, you know, on Osorio's back. But I think the fact that they just jetted off to Russia literally straight after the game, I think the fact that Mexico were strolling to the World Cup, I think it took the edge off a little bit. I think it took the edge off the criticism. And so, yeah, it was a lot less. The criticism was a lot less fierce than you know, it would have been otherwise.
Tom Marshall, ESPN FC from Kazan, Russia, here today. How fortunate are we to get Tom on? And believe me, Tom has been taking trains, planes, and automobiles to get where he is to cover the Confederations Cup. So let's switch gears now, Tom, to the Confed Cup. You were at Mexico's training this morning. Anything jump out to you about it?
I think that, you know, obviously the big game is on Sunday against Portugal, and obviously Cristiano Ronaldo. You know, Memo Ochoa, the goalkeeper, was talking after and saying, you know, there's going to be no specific plan for Ronaldo. It's going to be a kind of collective effort, and they're going to put a plan in place, not just to stop him, but the rest of the team as well. Obviously, I think there's a bit of tiredness because the trip's been massive, a huge, long trip from Mexico City to Kazan. And I think that, you know, the players seem in pretty good spirits. I mean, Héctor Moreno's just made a move from PSV to Roma, which is great for him. And I think great for Mexican football as well to have, you know, to have a defender in one of Serie A's top clubs. And Carlos Salcedo, who people, you know, in MLS will know from Real Salt Lake, has gone to Eintracht Frankfurt. So another, you know, another big move there for a Mexican national team player. And I mean, I think both those moves are massive positives for the players and the Mexican national team.
Tom Marshall, ESPN FC, joining us here. I'm going to switch gears now to Cubo Torres here in Houston. So Cubo wasn't put on this, I believe, 23-man roster here. The four strikers that were added were Elias Hernandez, plays for León, Martin Barragán for Atlas, who I know is highly rated, Alan Pulido, we all know from Chivas, and Angel Sepulveda from Morelia. Where do you think Kubo really is in the big picture here? Because he has had limited caps with the senior national team, and those are four strikers ahead of him on this roster that can be changed at different points of the Gold Cup. But those are names ahead of, you know, the other strikers in Chicharito, Raul Jimenez, Irving Chucky Lozano, Peralta, Vela, Fabian, Dos Santos. How far away is Kubo, you think, really from the full national team? I think we have to be honest about where he really is.
I think that, you know, in terms of a pure number nine, I think he's probably, obviously you've got Chicharito, then you've got Raul Jimenez, Oribe Peralta. Those are the three. Obviously there's other players like Carlos Vela who can play there and do a job. So you've got those three, and those three are pretty much always in the national team. Oribe Peralta is getting on now. I think he's 33 years old, so he's not going to be around forever. And then you look to the Gold Cup squad, which, you know, Kubo obviously wasn't on. And you've got Martin Barragan, who's had a decent season for Atlas. But I don't know, I think there's still a question mark. And then you've got Alan Pulido. Now, for me, Alan Pulido, you know, he scored two crucial goals in the Liga MX final for Chivas. Yep. And that's a player who you think he's 100% ahead of Kubo. So I think you've got four players there. And then I think you've got Kubo fighting with Martin Barragan from Atlas. So I'd put him kind of around number five for the pure number striker, number nine.
For pure number nine, right?
He can also do a job.
Yeah, for the pure number nine. And look, I'm looking at that game at Azteca Stadium, and I'm saying, you know, maybe Chicharito's strength is not coming back into the hole and dragging a center back out of there. I don't know. You might disagree with me, but maybe that was the type of player that was needed against the United States.
No, yeah, I think Chicharito has got a lot better, you know, at dropping back, playing with his back to goal, but I don't think it's ever going to be his, like, you know, his number one strength. I think his strength is being in the box, making the moves and finishing chances. So, yeah, but I mean, Raul Jimenez, I think probably looking back would have done a better job there, but I don't know. I mean, I've not seen Kubo too often this season, but I'm not sure he's that player either. I don't know. Would you agree with that? Or,
well, that's one of the elements of his game that impresses me is coming back to the ball. I don't think there's any question. I think he's a very good footballer, and I think him coming back to the ball is one of his strengths, and then combining with the midfield. I mean, could he fulfill that role? I guess if he gets the opportunity, he can do it. Certainly in MLS, can he do it with the full national team? I guess would be my question.
Yeah, I mean, it's a difficult one for Kubo because, I don't know, I mean, he's obviously having a good season with the Dynamo. And honestly, Glenn, it's a massive blow. It must be a blow for him not to be in this Gold Cup squad because it is an expanded squad. And obviously, basically, Juan Carlos Osorio's picked, 45 players this summer, and to not see Kubo's name anywhere on that list is, you know, it has to be a blow for him. But there's not much he can do about it right now apart from, you know, score goals for Houston and hope that in the... I mean, Osorio's spoken quite highly of him. I believe in an interview with yourself that I was listening to. So I think, you know, all he can do really is keep playing well, keep scoring goals. And, you know, I think that last spot with Martin Barragan, I don't think that's a, you know, I don't think Barragan is necessarily a full national team player. And I think Kubo probably, in terms of kind of, you know, talent ceiling, is higher than him. I think Kubo is going to be battling out with Alan Pulido moving forward. You know, when Chicharito, I mean, don't forget Chicharito's 29 now, Oribe Peralta's 33. So I think, you know, if you look at that next kind of wave, I think Kubo's there with Alan Pulido.
Tom, listen, as always, we thank you very, very much for coming on the show. We really appreciate you taking the time to do it from Russia. Your first vodka and borscht is on me. So send me the bill, okay? But I know you just got over there, and for you to do this is wonderful, and we really do appreciate it. A lot of my listeners, when they see Tom Marshall is going to be on the show, they're very excited.
No, thanks a lot, Glenn. I appreciate it, and stay tuned for all the updates from here.
Hey, by the way, Tom, are you going to be coming to Houston for the Mexico-Ghana game? No.
I'm not sure yet. It depends on the...
what happens with Mexico with the Confed.
Yeah, how far Mexico goes in the Confederations Cup. But, okay. Yeah, it'd be good.
Yep. Well, if you get here, we know we're waiting for you. Thank you very much, Tom.
Thanks a lot, Glenn. Appreciate it.
How about that? Fresh from the horse's mouth in Kazan, Russia, on the Confed Cup with Mexico. Quick word here. Mexico will be in Houston, one of their squads, to take on Ghana June 28th. The Mexican national team returning to Houston. Don't miss the opportunity to see Mexico ahead of the Gold Cup. So you'll probably see the Gold Cup squad there, obviously. Tickets are now on sale at Ticketmaster.com, starting at $30. Mexico-Ghana at Energy. And then a reminder here, as the host of Soccer Matters, nothing goes better together than great friends and Bud Light. Spring is here. get out on a patio, post up at the pool, or come out to a Dynamo game. But most importantly, grab your friends, get an ice-cold bucket of Bud Lights. Whether it's tonight, tomorrow, or any other day of the week, remember, it's not about the parties. It's about the friends you made along the way. Bud Light, official beer of Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5, Wednesdays at 7 Central. We'll take a break.
ESPN 97.5. Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. We're going to wrap it up in big style here tonight. Before we get into this interview, though, I got to remind you that nothing goes better together than great friends and Bud Light. Spring is here. Get out on a patio, post up at the pool, or come to a Dynamo game. But most importantly, grab your friends in an ice-cold bucket of Bud Lights, whether it's tonight, tomorrow, or any other day of the week. Remember, it's not about the parties. It's about the friends you made along the way. Bud Light, official beer of the Houston Dynamo, sponsor of Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5, Wednesdays at 7. Now, we all know upcoming L3. Their Gold Cup squad, essentially, will come to take on Ghana here on June 28th. At Energy Stadium. So the Mexican national team returning to Houston. Great opportunity to see Mexico ahead of the Gold Cup against one of the top teams in Africa in Ghana. Tickets are now on sale, Ticketmaster.com, starting at $30. And to talk a little more about Mexico and Ghana, we bring on our good friend from Texas Southern University. Nana Asare is an assistant professor of health and kinesiology and sports management. Also, he is the head man at his company, Nasari Athletics, which is a sports management consultancy. But the real reason we're bringing him on is because he knows a lot about Ghana. Nana, how are you?
I'm well, Glenn. How about yourself?
Very good to have you on. Thank you very much for taking the time to do this. So we all know about Mexico and the kind of the squad they're going to bring. But I want to focus with Ghana on with our conversation here. I know a couple of the big names are going. You mentioned, let's talk a little bit about Asamoah Gyan and Ayew coming here to Houston, and why fans should come out to see these great African players.
Absolutely. So we have Captain Asamoah Gyan, who's the all-time goal scorer for Ghana with 50 goals. He accomplished that feat over the weekend versus Ethiopia in a game in which we scored 5-0 that was won in Kumasi. Along with that, we have Andre Ayew, who plays for West Ham. He's known as a winger slash attacking forward or midfielder. He's coming along with his brother, Jordan Ayew, who plays for Swansea City. And so we've got a pretty loaded team, along with a lot of new debutants that Ghana's bringing forth from all over Europe, and also some African-based players as well.
And, of course, Nana, there is an MLS connection here, too, with Harrison Afo and Jonathan Mensah, who play for the Columbus Crew.
Yes, absolutely. We've got three players that have been called up for this national team duty for the Mexico match, as well as the U.S. match, that all play for the Columbus Crew. As you mentioned, Harrison Afo, the left back, right back. And then we also have Jonathan Mensah, who plays center back, and then Mohamed Abu, who plays in the center midfield role.
Joining us here, Nana Asare, and a man that knows the Ghana and the Black Stars very, very well. Talk about the challenges sometimes that Ghana has with its federation, and they have been very, very successful. They have a great sort of history against the United States, that's for sure, in World Cups. But talk about some of the challenges that African countries do have when it comes to assembling squads and NFAs and things like that.
Yes, that's a very loaded question, and an excellent question at that as well. So historically, over the last, 20, 25 years, you've seen a lot of African-based players being recruited and bought, so to speak, into the European teams. And sometimes that creates a little bit of conflict in terms of interest between the FAs and also the players, because they want to go ahead and make their money. They've got these exorbitant contracts that they have to fulfill the promises. And so when they come back home, there's a lot of expectations for them to carry the weight. And sometimes them and the FAs don't always see eye to eye. So in the case of Ghana, we've been to three World Cups, 2006, 2010, and 2014, three consecutive. As you mentioned, we played the U.S. Three times in a row, won two of those. The most recent one in 2014 in Brazil. U.S. and Ghana were in the group matches together. U.S., by the way, of a local or a Texas kid, Clem Dempsey, who scored the first goal, giving the U.S. the lead. Ghana pulled one back, but eventually was too much. The game was 2-1 in favor of the U.S. So this is going to be a great opportunity in Connecticut on July 1st as Ghana takes on the U.S. men's national team, first ever meeting between the two countries in a friendly match here on American soil.
For the match here against Mexico in Houston on June 28th, what does the manager want to get out of Ghana in this one?
Yes, so of course, he has the return coach from the 2014 World Cup team. We expect a full-flooded attack, free-flowing football. He's got a philosophy that is very, very consistent with the African continent in terms of fast type of play. And it's also, we expect to see a lot of contrast in terms of the two teams. Mexico plays a similar role where they play free-flowing, fast football. And so it'll be very interesting to see who has possession in terms of the most majority of possession and also scoring opportunities. It'll be very interesting to see. And also how these teams defend. Ghana has, historically some problems with set pieces. So I'll be interested to see how if they've improved or if they've been working on any in the set pieces.
Nana, sorry, joining us here. So let's talk a little bit, because I'm always interested. Obviously, this is going to be a pro-Mexican crowd here, but we do know that we have people from Africa from a number of different countries in this Houston. We have a big Nigerian community. How many Ghanaians you think are here in Houston? And will you know, maybe Nigerians come out or Cameroonians come out to support Ghana strictly because they represent the African continent?
Absolutely. Great point there. So, yes, all of West Africa, all of the diaspora, if we will, sub-Saharan, North, East, West Africans, we're asking everyone to come out and support the Ghana Black Stars. But to answer your question, we anticipate having about 1,000 or so Ghanaians that are traveling from Dallas, Houston, San Antonio, and Austin to come up and watch the game. And so we anticipate having about 1,000. That's nowhere near the amount that we would like to have in terms of the Mexican crowd, if you compare that. And so we ask everyone in the community to come out, whether you are a fan of football. As long as you're a fan of football, come out and support. It'll be a very interesting international match.
So Ghana ended up fourth in the recent African Cup of Nations. Andre Ayew, would you call him an out-and-out striker, or would you call him sort of a hybrid that's also expected to do some of the playmaking?
Yes, exactly that. He's a hybrid-type player for West Ham and Swansea. He played a little bit of a roaming attacking midfielder. Sometimes he played in the wings. And in Ghana, for the Ghana national team, he does essentially the same. He'll be given a lot of free-ranging opportunities to flow from the left into the middle or from the right into the middle. He's definitely a supporting-type, attacking midfield-type player.
Well, Nana, thank you very much. Great information on Ghana. We'll get you back on again before the game. We'll remind you again, it's Mexico-Ghana, June 28th. Mexico coming back to Houston, but Ghana's going to try to flex their muscles here in this one. Don't miss the opportunity to see these two great countries in action. Mexico and Ghana, this is ahead of Mexico in the Gold Cup. Tickets now on sale, Ticketmaster.com, $30. And our thanks to Nana Asari for joining us, the assistant professor over at TSU in kinesiology and sports management. Thank you very much, Nana. We appreciate it very much.
Thanks for the opportunity, Glenn.
All right, there's Nana Asari. That's great stuff there from him, and we'll get him on again once more before this one comes to play here in Houston. And again, it's June 28th, Mexican national team coming to Houston against Ghana. Ticketmaster.com for your tickets. So that's going to be another one of the great events happening here in Houston throughout the summer. That's going to wrap it up here tonight for Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Just a reminder again, nothing goes better together than great friends and Bud Light. Spring's here. Get out on a patio, get out to the pool, or come out to the Mexico-Ghana game. But most importantly, grab your friends, get an ice-cold bucket of Bud Lights, whether it's tonight, tomorrow, or any other day of the week. Remember, it's not about the parties. It's about the friends you made along the way. Bud Light, official beer of Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. And my thanks, as always, to Tyler Scott, to Jose Partida, and also to Michael Carroll for helping us get these interviews done on this show this week. Until next Wednesday at 7:30 p.m., I'm Glenn Davis. Good night.
listening to ESPN 97.5.